see everybody here tonight. I brought my purse up here because I have something in it. M&M's. Who's a fan? Yeah. Awesome. So if I were to say, I will bring this candy to you and put it right in your hand, raise your hand if you would take it. Who's going to take it? Just about all of you. So if I do all the work and I walk over and I place it in your hand, you're like, thank you, Sister Sherry. All right, now, if I were to say, if you'll walk up here, I'll hand it to you. Who would raise your hand if you would come up? Just about the same amount of people. Not very far, a few steps. Some of you don't like to be seen, so you're like, nope, I'll buy my own. Thank you very much. Now, what about if I said this is going to be over at the church? And you got to go out there and walk to church. Who would put forth effort to go get this candy? I'm seeing a few less hands, still quite a few of you. Got some big M&M fans in here. All right, what about if I said this is going to be in Columbus, Ohio, and you're going to have to travel there, walk, bike, stick your thumb out, somehow or another get there to get this bag of M&M's. Who's going to go clear to Columbus to get this bag of M&M's?
Maybe it was a one-pounder.
I see maybe two hands. What was the difference between my first question and my last question? Gas money, for sure. If you're walking, what? A lot of energy. Now, some in my house said, yeah, M&M's, I wouldn't walk to church for it. What about if I said pizza, pie and ice cream? We all have our weakness, right? This used to be mine. Brother Steve says, what's going to keep you from eating that? And I said, blue number one, red number 40, yellow number six, and so forth and so on. So, yeah. No idea what's in there. So desire is going to affect our effort. If I place this in your hand, how much effort is that going to take? Stick your hand out. Wow, not very much energy. Over at the church? Well, a little bit. Take a few steps, walk over there. Drive to Columbus? Are you kidding, Sister Sherry? They sell this at the gas station. That's where you bought it. It's much closer to Columbus. Sure, that's true. So desire is going to affect our effort. And so Wednesday night, Brother Decker made a comment in his message that really stood out to me. And I encourage you over and over and over to do this. You're thinking, what should I study about? What should I read this week in my Bible? What should I bring in new peoples when Brother Steve asks me it's my turn? There's prompts everywhere. The preaching's going forth and I'm like, whoa, that's a good comment. And I write it down and perhaps I might be listening to a message online or maybe I'm reading an article or reading a book. There's prompts everywhere. And so I encourage you, when a thought comes to your mind, write it down. And this, when I prayed about this message, I actually got one word. And I kept saying, Lord, now that's just not very much. I need more than one word. And then that word turned into the comment that Brother Decker made. And the comment he made was, daily Bible reading is going to require desire and effort. Now, who in here struggles with daily Bible reading? Who struggles? We all do. Why do we struggle? Why do we struggle? Somebody give me one reason why you struggle.
It takes work.
It does take work. It takes effort. It takes some time. Why else do we struggle?
Because there's things that we want to do besides reading the Bible.
There's something else we want to do instead. That's good. What else? Brianna?
I'm struggling to concentrate.
So it's hard to concentrate. No idea what this is saying to me. First of all, I'm not even sure where to start. Lamentations is a little depressing. All right, we're going to go over here and we're going to read about all of the sacrifices in the Old Testament. And that's a little confusing. So we tried that last week, and so we're not a big fan. We're in a hurry. Does it seem relevant to what I'm going through right now? Reading here about Hosea, he married a prostitute. That is not relevant. So there's a lot of reasons why we don't. But I liked what he said, and so I've just been kind of keeping my thoughts on that. Desire and effort. Desire and effort. Daily Bible reading is going to require those two things. I need a desire, a want to, and then I'm going to have to put some energy behind that. I wanted the M&Ms, but I had to actually walk to get them. I wanted them for this lesson. So we had to go to the gas station. So, first of all, definition of desire. Strongly want something. If you're not a fan of M&M's, you probably didn't raise your hand. One time we did a lesson in Sunday school, and I passed out chocolate as part of the lesson, and one of the kids said, "Oh no, thank you, Sister Sherry, I don't like chocolate." I'm like, you're the first person I've ever met that didn't like chocolate. I did not know those people existed. It's a great weakness of mine. So, the desire and effort are greatly, are they tied together? So I want to talk about, what are some things that you strongly desire in your life? Let's start with accomplishments. What are some accomplishments that you strongly desire to see happen? Finals, are they over or are they coming?
Tomorrow.
Cody strongly desires to do what? Be done? Pass, maybe? Be done forever? He wishes it was his final? All right. What about graduation? Who strongly desires, whether it's high school or college, you strongly desire to be done, to graduate. All right. I got some amens back there. Absolutely. What about a good job? A better job than you have now? Or just a job at all? Perseus is wanting a job. So these are things we strongly desire. In the area of accomplishments. All right, what about possessions? Who would like to have a good car, truck, better car, truck? All right? Strongly desire it. Brother Steve wanted a truck, and we prayed, and he showed me what he's looking at, and I really prayed because that was way more than I thought our budget could handle. Who pays $26,000 for a vehicle? And that's probably cheap. And then God worked it out, and we have an awesome truck because we prayed about it, but I digress. Who wants a better phone than they have right now? Who wants a phone, period? They don't have one at all. Yeah, okay, I hear ya. All right, so these are things that we want. How about life goals? Who really, really strongly hopes and prays they'll find the right one? You don't have to raise your hand, but I mean, if you're not dating, you're probably strongly desiring that you'll find Mr. Right, Miss Right. All right, that can be a strong desire. Now, what is it going to take to make these desires happen? Cody, what is it going to take for you to pass that final tomorrow?
A lot of coffee.
Some studying. You got to show up wherever up is at. Is that in your bedroom with Zoom?
My recliner.
Your recliner. A lot of steps from the bedroom to that recliner. What is it going to take for you back here to graduate from high school? What's it going to take? Work, effort, get her done, show up. Gonna have to put forth some effort. What is it gonna take to get that car?
A big bank
loan. A loan, so we're gonna have to go ask for some money. We're gonna ask for help. You might do some research if you don't know for sure if it's a good car or not. You guys probably know. Some of us sisters don't. So we do some research. You might run that Carfax. Is that right? You might write a Carfax and make sure your car's not been in a wreck and nobody told you, and so you're going to have to put forth some effort. Okay, what about to find the right one? What's that going to take? Oh, I'll just date around, Sister Sherry. I mean, eventually, surely I can hit the jackpot. Oh, wait, no. That's really bad advice. You might have to do some praying. You might have to do some research. Okay, what does the Bible say is the qualifications for a good companion? Brother Reggie wrote a book, it's coming soon, called Finding the Right Companion. Get one. Read it. Oh, okay, they don't meet that quality. Yeah, never mind. It'll help. It really will. So we're going to have to put forth some effort. You know, dating's not like a dartboard. You just throw the dart and hope for the best. That is not a great way to going into finding the right one. So prayer, getting advice, getting your Bible. The Bible will tell you some things about the right one and the wrong one. So there's going to have to be some effort. But how badly, how strongly you want these things is going to be reflected in how much effort you put into them. If Cody's like, "I got finals tomorrow, Sister Sherry," and he just sleeps in, it'll be fine. Well, we hope. But it probably won't. It might be a problem. And so forth and so on in these other categories. If you don't put forth the effort, you probably didn't want it that much. Now, I thought about this. Consider a typical day. We have wants all day long. Some propel us a little faster than others. For instance, when I first wake up in the morning, I desire to know that my family is safe. I think about when the kids were home and they were small. And as I would be heading to the kitchen, I would peek in, check on them, make it look in their bedrooms and see what's going on. But I also have a very strong desire for, would you like to guess what one of my first desires is in the morning?
Coffee.
And that propels me down the hallway to the kitchen, let me tell you. Some headaches, some mornings I have a little bit of a headache and it's probably a caffeine headache. And so the coffee helps. So I don't lay there in bed go, oh, I just really would like to have some coffee and, you know, hoping the maid will bring it. Oh, wait, we don't have a maid. So if Sister Sherry wants coffee, now sometimes the husband is very, very kind and he brings me one. But most of the time I get out of bed and get it done myself. And I have desires all day. I could go through my day. I want to see this accomplished. I want to see that accomplished. I want to make sure my husband has a good lunch. And so I don't lay in bed and go, well, I hope he has a good lunch today. Wonder if he can find something at the cafeteria. No, I get up. I go to the kitchen. I put it together a lunch. So it depends on how strongly I want to see that happen. And all day long, you know. Got a bill that's due. I hope somebody in this house pays that bill. Yeah, that's my job. So if I want some electric next month, I make sure that bill is paid. So use the strength of the amount of desire is going to determine whether or not something gets accomplished. And I thought about if you just actually Google, or I'm sorry, if you actually put the word desire in a search box on maybe like Bible Gateway or some of the other Bible softwares to see where are some Bible stories where people desired something and did it come about. And there's a lot of good results and bad results because it depends on what they desired. And I thought it was kind of interesting. So I'd like to talk about a few Bible stories here. And the first one that came to mind was Eve. And the scripture tells us that she saw the tree, a tree to be desired to make one wise. So not only did she think that fruit looked good and she wanted to try it, but she understood it was going to give her wisdom. And she had such a strong desire. It overcame that command of God to not partake of it. And that strong desire propelled her. And she got what she wanted. And then we know she got more than that. You know, God didn't smack her hand and say, I told you to leave that alone. A lot of times God just says, you know what? I'm going to step back. You want it that bad? I'm going to let you have it. That is not good. Think about Israel. And they strongly desired a king. We desire a king. And God said, you know what a king's going to do? He's going to tax you. He's going to take a lot of money, extra money from you. He's going to take your sons and your daughters and are going to have to come and work and be in the army. And the people of Israel, they should have said, oh, that's a really bad idea. Never mind, Lord, you what you're doing. Nope. They strongly desired a king. And God let them have it. And exactly what God said was going to happen, happened. King Solomon, the scripture says, loved, which is desired, many strange women. And what did this do to Solomon? God let him have him. You want thousands of wives and concubines? You have no idea what you're asking. But he did. And the scripture says they turned his heart away from God. That strong desire, and Solomon went after it, and he paid the price. I think about in Mark 15 and 6, the scripture says, and at that feast, he, talking about Pilate, released unto them one prisoner, whichever one you desire. Now, what was the choices? There was two choices. What was the choices that Pilate presented to the people that he would release unto them? One was Jesus, and who was the other? Barabbas. Who was Barabbas? A murderer. A person that you hope when he goes before the judge, they say, life, no parole. And what did the people say? Release Jesus. Yes, he's a good man. He's been healing people in our cities. And Barabbas, my, keep him locked up. They desired who? Barabbas. Let's go to Luke 20 and 46. And it says, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes. Okay, now, is anybody in here desiring long robes? What's wrong with them, people? No. There's more to the story than that. They love the greeting in the market. Oh, Rabbi, you wise man. It's so good to be in your presence. Oh, thank you. See my long robes? See what I've been doing? See this money I brought? They like the highest seats in the synagogue, in the chief room at the feasts. And guess what? Jesus said, they have their reward. People noticed them. That was it. They desired long robes. They desired praise of men. And God said, that's all you'll get. Praise of men. They had their reward. And so, here's the one I was going to get to. And though they found no cause of death in him, Acts 13 and 28 says, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. So not only did they say, release unto us Barabbas, they said, that prisoner that we don't want, kill him. And then they went on. They desired that so strongly, they said, his blood be on us and on our children. And if you read history, look at the Jewish nation. They got what they desired. The children that didn't even ask for that got what they desired. No doubt the Holocaust came about in part because of that statement. Strong desire can work for good, and it can work for great evil. Let's look at maybe a couple of good ones. Matthew 9:21, the woman says, if I may touch his garment, I may be made whole. We know this story. She's got an infirmity for, I believe it was 12 years, and she's greatly afflicted. And she's like, if I can just touch his garment. And that might be easy if you were walking up here and just touched my skirt, but not if there's hundreds of people and you've got to push through and you're sick and you have no energy. And some say she was stooped over. But she desired it so much, action was put to that desire, and she was made whole. What about the Ethiopian? He's looking and he's reading this scroll and he's just so confused, doesn't know what's going on, and God made sure Philip was right there, and he invites him up in his chariot. Get up here, I need help, I don't understand this. How should I know unless some man shall guide me? And he desired that Philip come up and sit with him. And because of that, it is believed that that Ethiopian went back home and started a Christian congregation that began to flourish. He brought the word to his hometown because of his strong desire to understand what the Bible was saying when he could not figure it out. Did you know Satan has a desire? Satan has a desire. Peter was overconfident. Lord, I'm going to go with you all the way. It doesn't matter what happens. Nothing's going to happen to you. Lord, I'm going to be right there. And Jesus says, Peter, Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I was hoping to find a flour sifter, and I did not find one because they're quickly becoming old school. But a sifter, if you've ever seen one, it's kind of like a little metal, looks like a cup, and it's got a metal screen in there, and then a handle. And it used to be that flour had lumps and debris and bugs. I remember being in home ec. I was like, why sift it? It looks fine to me. And I would try to skip that step. And here comes the home ec teacher. You've got to sift the flour. So you put it in this little container. And then you pump the handle. And it goes through the screen. And little poofs of, there'll be like flour, kind of a cloud. And the flour's all agitated. And it's moving all around. And I thought about, if Satan desires to sift us, what he's trying to do is get us agitated and get us all upset about what's going on. I don't understand all this stuff. Why is this happening? And why do things never go right? It's what he wants to do to us. Get us all upset. Why has 2020 been such a mess? I don't understand. And then he might throw in a few lumps of doubt. Well, how do I even know this is real? Is there even a God? What's going on? Why didn't he answer prayer? And all the time he's keeping you away from what brings true peace and true happiness. Remember, we need desire and effort. And it's going to be exhausting when the devil's got us all in turmoil. We're going to be so tired, too tired to put forth that effort that we need to. Now, what does God desire? Well, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, he says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God wants a relationship with us. He wants to be talking to us every day. This is why the enemy is doing his best to keep us out of our Bible, to keep us away from prayer. And God's saying, I want a relationship. And the devil's over here running that sifter. What about this? What about that? What's going on here? What's going on there? What are you going to do? How are you going to handle this? And he's keeping you away from the word. He's keeping you away from trying. A And so, young people, how is your desire? Now, when your physical appetite's not good, there's usually just a few reasons. Number one, you might be sick. You might have a virus, and so you're not feeling like eating. Or you might be very upset, a lot of problems in life. Or you might be eating too much junk food, and you just lost your appetite. So what if we look at this spiritually? If our desire for our daily Bible reading, our desire for the things of God is weak, what's going on? Well, there probably are a few reasons. Maybe you're sick. Maybe there's something in your life God's told you to add or remove, and you're not doing it. You got a virus. Little thing is working. Lord, I like this. I like this too much, and I want to let go of it. You're sick. Well, that's going to affect your appetite. Maybe you're upset. Satan's distracting you from all your problems. He's got your eyes on your problems. Sorry. He's distracting you by your problems from the things that matter. Or maybe you've been taking in too much junk food. Worldly pleasures can dull your appetite. I have learned to get up in the morning, start the conversation with God first. Before the radio comes on, before Pandora comes on, before I check the news, before I do anything, start a conversation with God. Thank you, Lord, for that good night of rest. Thank you that I'm safe. Thank you that my husband's still here and the roof's still there. Thank you there's food in the kitchen and coffee in the cupboard. Start talking to him. But if you do things that dull the appetite, trust me, pull up the news. Oh, my word, that political situation looks horrible. Well, he said what on social media? Put on a song. I can do it all by myself, the song says. Yes, I can do this all by myself. And God's saying, lean on me. Lean on me. Things can dull our appetite. But Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst. I'd say that's desire. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, because what will happen? They shall be filled. They'd be all filled. The greater your desire to know God, to know what his word says, the greater your desire to have a relationship with him, the greater your effort will be. And so back to what Brother Decker said, daily Bible reading is going to require desire and effort. Let's examine both. Is there something that's affecting our desire? The greater we want it, the more we're going to put forth some steps to see it take place.